Hey there, fellow truth seekers. It's Jamie Grogan, founder of Solutions for Solopreneurs, an organization dedicated to the healers of the world. We remove the tech overwhelm and the confusion that comes with it. This podcast serves those who need a soft place to fall, a comforting and accepting space to explore the spiritual world. So settle in and listen as our guests share their struggles, challenges, and triumphs on their way to entrepreneurship. All right. So it's your show, so I'm going to let you take the lead.
Okay.
I tend to be a little overbearing, so.
Do you? No, I'm sure you're fine. You've been on podcasts and stuff before?
Yes, and I have my own podcast.
Yeah. You'll have to send that to me. You'll have to email me the link to that. Yeah. What does that talk about?
It's basically your journey to entrepreneurship, and it's all about regular people telling their stories and sharing their challenges. Because there's a lot of podcasts that cover kind of the nuts and bolts, you know, what email server do you use, all that kind of stuff. But it's very hard to find like the story behind the actual business and how it got started and what they struggled with and what they still struggle with and stuff like that.
That's a different take. I really like that.
Thank you.
So thank you so much for willing to come on. And I guess a little backstory about the podcast, just with COVID and everything going on with social injustice and Black Lives Matter, you know, for me personally, it was like, all right, well, I really haven't done anything, right? And it's one thing to not do anything versus taking action and doing something. So I decided, like, where can I start, especially now where I'm pretty much stuck at home? And I was like, let me just do a podcast. I've been tinkering with it for a while. I always wanted to and just never did.
That's awesome.
And ultimately, like, yeah, I just want to provide a platform for people to come on and share a story when, you know, maybe they don't, or they just need to vent or get something off of their chest or share. And I think, like, the other piece of that is there's so many people who listen, and I've been in this boat too, where you feel like I'm the only one that feels that way, or I'm the only one going through something, without realizing, you know, there are people all over the world who have been there, done that, are going through it currently, will go through it. So hopefully, you know, for people who listen to this, just making the connection of, okay, I'm not the only one. And even if that makes them feel a little bit better, like, that's a win for me.
Yeah. Completely agree.
Yeah. And so that's kind of how it started. At first, it was just, I think it was just very broad. It was just, hey, come on, talk about whatever you want. Like, and it was just all over the place. But then I noticed that I ask a lot of questions that end up going down these paths of just like problem solving, you know, it's just, I don't know. I'm just curious like that. And so then that's where I kind of changed the, like, how I kind of want to do this. So, there's no set questions or anything like that. It's really just, you know, introduce yourself, share your story, and then we'll kind of just have a conversation.
Yeah, I love that. I really love that. And I'll be honest, I usually don't go on podcasts that send me that interview thing beforehand because I feel like I'm being, like, it's the SAT. You know, I'm being asked all these questions that I'm like, what does that have to do with anything? You know, I'd much rather go on podcasts where it's just a conversation. Mm-hmm. I really enjoy those more because I'm like you, I'm very curious. Mm-hmm. So when they say something and I'm like, let's talk more about that.
Right. Hey, I have this question that I have to ask, but I actually want to talk about this over here. What do I do? Yeah, it just feels so formal. You know, when it's like, all right, you know, you're talking about something, you're going in a different direction. And then I'm like, okay, well, let's talk about the paint on your walls. Right. Let's go back to that. And it's like, why, you know?
No, that to me is not what people want to hear. You know, that's definitely not. And my audience is so engaged, and they never say to me, oh, I wish you had asked this question. Mm-hmm. They never say that. So they're always like, yes, I'm so glad you asked that question, because that's exactly what I was thinking.
Yeah.
Because when you don't have like that pre-interview, then you're going to ask questions exactly the way the audience would ask the questions, right? Because they're brand new to you and they're, you know, have those questions. Mm-hmm. And when things come up, you're like,
yeah, no, that's exactly it, you know? And I mean, that says a lot about you just being a great interviewer and listener. I think that's the biggest piece. People don't realize it's like, you just got to listen, right? And you'll hear something that's important or where to follow or what to ask. But if you're constantly like, I want to say, like, you're not going to get it. So,
right. And if you're following a script and you have questions that you're like, oh, I got to ask this question, then you're going to be focused on how to bring the conversation back to that question versus just having a conversation. Just
letting it flow. Yeah.
For sure. So I'll introduce myself. Yeah. My name is Jamie Grogan. I have been an entrepreneur. It's so funny. When I first started doing the podcast, I would say, I've only been an entrepreneur for 2 years. But then I remembered that I helped my neighbor at 13 years old launch a home daycare.
Wow.
Because she had gotten sick and she needed some income. And I was like, why don't you just watch kids? And then I literally put up signs and I, you know, brought people to her to interview and stuff. So come on. I've been an entrepreneur since I was 13 years old.
Your entire life.
Right. Yeah. Yes. So we talked a little bit earlier, but I'm originally from Southern California. I now live in New Hampshire. This is definitely home. I can see myself on a big plot of land with a rescue organization for senior huskies. That's what I can see myself doing as a retirement plan. I have two daughters. They are grown, 26 and 24. And no, I did not have my kids when I was 12. People are always like, what? I'm like, I don't know. You know, the melanin, that's all I can say. I've been married for almost 19 years. So my business, I'll talk about that.
Yeah.
Because I could go all day about my personal life.
Yes, let's do it.
Literally. So, so I have multiple different businesses that I run. I have a t-shirt line that is primarily social injustice t-shirts. Mm-hmm. They're very edgy. So they're not your normal this too shall pass t-shirts.
Yeah.
You know, I have one that's one of my favorites is I stopped waiting for the light at the end of the tunnel and lit that bitch up myself. So
they're a little,
they're a little edgier than what you find in Walmart. And that's really like a passion project of mine because I really wanted t-shirts that spoke to where we are right now in this world. So that's one of my businesses. I have a coaching arm to my business where I help entrepreneurs really hone in on their story and then how to tell that story. And I do that through video and other things. And then I also have as part of my business is a content creation offer. And so that offer is basically just a 6-month contract where I help you come up with the systems, processes, and scheduling tool to create content on a consistent basis. So those are my three main sources of income.
What do you enjoy most about those three that you do? Like, what fills your tank while you're working any of those three?
The connection with people. That's what all of them have in common. My mother used to say that I'm so nosy, that I'm like the old woman that sits on the porch and watches everybody.
Yeah.
You know. But I like to say that I'm just very curious and I'm truly invested in learning about people's stories.
Have you always been that way?
Yes, I have. And I'm a great storyteller. So when I was young, even if I wasn't there and I had only heard the story a couple times, my aunts and uncles would be like, let Jamie tell it. Because it's always been something that I've always been very good at. So that connection part is what fills my tank for sure. Mm-hmm.
So connection is just really important, just on all levels of your life. So not for just sure. personally, but professionally and all of that.
Yes, for sure. My grandmother used to, she was just known in our family for giving the best hugs ever. Mm. You always wanted a hug from your grandmother. And then after she passed, it's been almost 2 years now. And that's just kind of been my thing now. And with COVID, it's so awkward because I'm like, I'm such a hugger. Mm. You know, and people that don't know me very well are like, ugh. I'm like, I'm sorry. I'm just a hugger. So.
It's really tough.
It is. It's tough. Mm. It's very hard for me because I am a connection-driven person. Right. And I've only learned that in the last, you know, 3 or 4 years that's what's really, really important. I want to invest in people and I want them to invest in me.
Yeah. Was there a specific or defining moment when you realized connection was so important to you, or did that kind of, you know, looking back, maybe you connected some dots and realized, okay, this is what I care about?
I think it was a little bit of both. But my youngest daughter and I have a very, very special connection. And so when she joined the military, I knew that I was going to miss her, but I didn't realize how deep not being able to get in the car and drive to her was just, it was really, really hard for me. And then she surprised me, like all those videos that you see out there. Mm-hmm. She didn't tell me she was coming home and she surprised me at work. And it was that moment that I realized just how important connection was. So I think it was a little bit of both.
Mm-hmm. But looking back, you realized throughout your entire life, connection was there?
Oh, 100%. And every time I felt really, really betrayed or alone, it was because the connection was severed. Mm-hmm. Not necessarily what they did. It was really more about, okay, I don't have that person in my life anymore, or I can't trust that person anymore, or that person died, or, you know. And so when you realize that someone passing is more about your pain than their pain, and, you know, then you realize that the connection piece can still be had if you put work into it. You know, like my grandmother's not gone, because I firmly believe that energy doesn't die, it just changes form. Mm-hmm. And we're all energy. So
yeah. Wow. In those moments when you feel betrayed or let down, or, you know, trust is lost, how do you typically respond in those moments? Like, what does that look like?
Well, 5 years ago I would have said anger. Actually more like 3 years ago. But I learned through therapy that my anxiety and depression come out in anger. Because you can function in anger. You can get up and do what you need to do every single day, even though you're angry and you're walking around with a chip on your shoulder. Side note, I believe that that's where the angry Black woman narrative comes from.
Yeah.
But you can't function if you're sad and, you know, sobbing on your bed. So for strong people, anxiety and depression come out as anger and rage, which is really just fear. So through therapy, that's how I learned that. So now I meditate. I do a lot of grounding techniques. Grounding to me is like the number one centering mechanism that I use. So every morning when I take my dogs for a walk, I walk barefoot. And I do my meditation, then I do my affirmations and I journal. So my morning routine has become very important to me, because it's something that I have to slow myself down and make important enough to do.
Yeah. So how do you respond differently today?
So today, I would say that 90% of the time, because you're human and you're going to revert back to what's the most comfortable. Yeah. I said in another podcast that we recreate the environment that we are the most comfortable in. So you have to become uncomfortable for shit to change. Mm-hmm. You just do. And so right now, I would say 90% of the time, I react. I shouldn't say that, because I don't react. My goal, I'm reading a lot of Eckhart Tolle. I don't know if you know who that is.
Yes, I've read almost all that book.
I'm only on chapter 3, so.
It's good.
But he talks about your mind using you instead of you using your mind, mm-hmm. and you becoming neutral. So you don't care either way. That sounds callous, but it's really more about balance. Mm-hmm. And so that's where I try to deal with the situation and from a neutral place. So that's how I, and that's why I don't want to say react, because mm-hmm. react is either a bad or a good. So I just, I don't know the word I want to use, because that's so hard. Like, you want to say react, but it's not really reacting. It's more of
maybe respond, or it's tough, right? Because the tricky thing is, it's not your first thought that matters, it's your second.
Exactly.
Right? So you are going to have a reaction instantly. Yes. And that's going to be almost on a subconscious level.
Yes.
But what you're focusing on is, okay, what is my second thought and how do I move from there?
Yes. Yes, mm-hmm. exactly. Right. So I guess I would say that I'm successful probably 90% of the time, but it is work. It is mm-hmm. constant. He talks about watching The Thinker in his book. And I'm like, ugh, it's so tiring. It's like, gosh, I gotta continue to stay on top of it. There's a quote that I really love that says, be vigilant about standing at the gate of your mind. Because what the quote means is coming and going. What are you letting in and what are you letting out? Mm-hmm. So I'm like, oh my gosh, that's so tough to do all the time. Right. But what I found is that it keeps me present. Mm-hmm. And for my anxiety, that's what's key, is being present.
Yeah. Are you the type of person that tries to solve everything on your own?
God, yes. Mm-hmm. Yes, I have a very hard time asking for help. Even if it's just, like I did a post this morning on Facebook and I said, hey, it's my birthday. So for my birthday, go check out my t-shirt line. Mm-hmm. I'm having a special. And even right now, I'm like dying to go see what, you know, if people are going to be like, oh, so you're exploiting your birthday. Mm-hmm. to get sales on your t-shirt line. And my friend, we use Marco Polo all the time. I don't know if you've ever used that app, but it's like a video chat app.
Okay. Yeah.
And so she sent me a message and said, oh, I love that one. Blah, blah, blah. You know, I sent you $20. I was like, so was it okay that I did?
Yeah,
it's like, you know, like, why am I looking for validation that it's okay for me to do what I did? Mm-hmm. So, but I feel like that's kind of asking for help. So yes, I'm bad at that.
Yeah. What prevents you from asking for help?
Judgment. Yep. I'm worried that people are going to judge me negatively. And especially for clients. Mm-hmm. So it's hard to be vulnerable when you're helping someone else, right? Especially in a business relationship. Mm-hmm. And because of my personality, people instantly feel like I'm their friend, right? Mm-hmm. So because of that, I have to be careful how much vulnerability I show them, because then it teeters on that. They don't quite trust me because I'm so vulnerable. And, you know, you kind of have to look at somebody, you kind of have to look at your coach as being a couple steps ahead of where you want to be. Mm-hmm. Right. And if you look at them and they're kind of a mess, you know, this is going to sound really sexist and biased, but, you know, it's kind of like Oprah Winfrey being the spokesperson for Weight Watchers. Mm-hmm. It's like, you really should be losing weight. But that's that first reaction we were talking about.
Right.
Because she's being vulnerable. She's saying, I struggle with my weight. That's, you know, but I'm working with this company and it's more about being healthy. But your first reaction is, that's, you know, you shouldn't be a spokesperson for Weight Watchers if you can't lose weight. Mm-hmm. So I struggle with it because I don't want my clients and my customers to look at me as someone that they can't trust with their life, with their
goals, aspirations.
Right. Kind of. Mm-hmm. Right. Right.
Is there specific examples where you were too vulnerable and you felt like it kind of bit you?
Oh God. Yes. So I had this client, and early on, about 8 months ago, when I was trying to figure out what type of coaching I wanted to do, I had a client who we became very close, very good friends. And I shared on my post, actually, my husband and I were having some issues and he went to Facebook. Mm-hmm. And I always told him, don't tag me in stuff, right? So someone else in the comments tagged me. Mm. So she saw it and she reached out to me and she was just like, because she's single, she was like, oh, I didn't realize you guys were having issues, blah, blah, blah. She's like, maybe we need to take a break so that you can take care of, you know, and I was like, so.
Yeah.
Yeah.
How did you respond to her?
So I have a coach and my coach stresses the fact that you don't chase, you attract. Mm-hmm. So I just said to her, if that's what you feel is best, you know, that's fine. And she was like, you know, maybe after the summer, blah, blah, blah. And I said, okay, well, we'll see. I'm not going to promise. Because at the time in my mind, I knew that I was moving away from the type of coaching that I was doing for her anyways. So sometimes it does, you know, but I feel like at the time you're like, oh no, you know, that revenue's gone, you know, that client, did I, you know, let that client down? But then you realize everything is everything, as Lauryn Hill says. Mm-hmm. So what is meant to be will be, and you just have to go with it, you know?
Yeah, absolutely.
And not hang your hat on what you think should be happening.
Yeah. Is there a personal side to this also with being vulnerable or not being vulnerable on your personal side?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. So I have another friend. Her name is Erica, and we've been friends for a little over 10 years. And she's been through hell and back, but she's like on this beautiful upswing, that I just love to watch and hear about. And she'll always, she'll say to me, I didn't know that happened. And, you know, it'll be like 4 years ago. And she's like, well, why didn't you tell me you were going through that? Or why didn't, you know, and finally we had kind of a heart to heart when something happened in my life, when I went to her and she was like, I gotta tell you, that was really terrifying. She said, you've always been like this rock, this, you know, and I literally was like a sobbing mess in front of her. And she said, you know, she said it was scary seeing you like that. And it was jarring. She said, but then afterwards, she said, I felt so much more connected to you. And we've been friends for 10 years.
Yeah.
You know, so it just depends on the person. you know, and my coach also says that if you're not vulnerable, you're not growing, mm-hmm. because the vulnerability is the cracks, and the cracks are what let the light in.
Yeah. Wow. That's a powerful statement.
I love my coach. Yeah. Hi, Morgana.
Vulnerability is a big struggle of mine. Always has been. So I can relate to that a lot. Like, I am always the rock for everyone. I have everything perfect. Nothing's ever wrong. I can always fix it. I can take care of it on my own. I don't need anybody. Mm. I'll figure it out. You know, and probably the past 3-4 years, it's been a big mindset change on that.
Yeah.
And it's just interesting because my definition of what it means to be strong has changed. So okay. Originally, right, it's I'm strong. I'm the rock for everyone. You know, everything's good. I'm Superman. But actually realized how weak that is, in the sense that the strongest person is the one who is most vulnerable and letting people in and sharing these things, knowing, openly knowing that they can take this and hurt you significantly.
Right.
Right. Because you're sharing something deep, personal, right? And they can harm you with that.
Right.
But you are strong enough to still allow that to happen, knowing that, yeah, they could hurt you, but they're not going to. And right. Even if they do, you're still okay, right? You're right. Going to overcome it. You're going to be strong and you're going to move on. And so for me, like, just looking at it just completely differently now.
Yeah, for sure. And I appreciate the people who share their skeletons, mm-hmm. because what you bring to light can't be used against you. Mm-hmm. Because if you've dealt with it, you know, like my weight right now, it's a big struggle for me. And I'm struggling only because I want to be healthy. Yeah. I'm 49 years old today and I have severe high blood pressure. And if I keep going the way that I am, I won't be here in 10 years for my grandkids, mm-hmm. right? So that's an extremely vulnerable admission, but I've already dealt with it in my head and heart and said, okay, so the decisions that I made in survival mode when I was sitting there eating a bag of chips mm-hmm. because I was so sad for, you know, for a multitude of reasons, I can't continue to beat myself up over that.
Right. Yeah.
So when you deal with your own skeletons and your own pain, then what can someone else do with that pain to mm-hmm. you?
Right. It's interesting, because you've talked about how connection is really big for you, and yet you struggle on the vulnerability side, which is probably the best way to gain that connection. Like, you just shared the story with your friend of how once you finally got vulnerable, that connection grew significantly.
Yes.
So, you know, it's almost a little contradicting there.
It is. And it's because I grew up, my mother was the oldest of 10 children. So she was raising kids from the time she was 4 years old.
Wow.
So you don't cry. Crying mm-hmm. is a sign of weakness. What is crying going to help the situation? You know, and that's the way I was raised. So when you are raised to not show emotion, let alone vulnerability, and mm-hmm. you know, you walk around saying, I can do it. I don't need anybody. You walk around all those things in your head. But at the same time, me, the person who I am at my core,
yeah,
wants to take care of everybody, right? Mm. So then when you're taking care of everybody else, you don't take care of yourself. It's so much easier to focus on everybody else than it is to focus on yourself.
Yeah, always is. Why do you think that is? That, like, and I could be way off base here, but is there a fear of, if I focus on myself, I may find something that I don't like?
Absolutely.
So I am going to just keep putting all of my efforts on someone else.
Oh yeah, absolutely. Because any struggle that you continue to have is a weakness in the way that I was brought up. So my weight, that's a huge weakness, a failure, a problem that I can't solve because I continue to struggle with it. Yeah. So I just focus on everybody else.
So you don't sit and kind of bask in that.
Right. Right. Yeah. And at the same time, your body continues to break down. You know, time's going to pass no matter what you do with it, you know, and if you don't get your health under control, your time will run out.
Yeah. A lot sooner than it should.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. So do you feel like you are focusing on yourself now with weight, or do you feel like you still put that off?
It's still a struggle. It's still a struggle. But I just had a pretty significant scare with my high blood pressure, Sunday night, where I had a nosebleed that would not stop. And after 2 hours, I went to the emergency room, and my blood pressure was 206 over 115.
Wow.
and you know, that morning, I'm just thinking to myself, I'm just going to be another statistic. I'm just going to be another middle-aged Black woman who had a stroke and died if I don't do something.
Yeah.
So all this week, I've really been trying to figure out ways that I can start small and make major changes. You know, you start small, that, you know, you build up to the lifestyle change, you know, because everybody keeps saying it's a lifestyle change. It's a lifestyle change. And I'm like, I know that. But first of all, if you're going to tell me that I can't have a steak, we're going to have problems.
Yeah.
If you tell me that I can never have mashed potatoes again, oh my gosh. I'm like, I don't know if I could do that. Never having mashed potatoes again. So yes, I'm focusing on it, but I also have to get to the point where I'm not resistant, you know, because food really is the biggest obstacle for me. I'm not lazy, you know. That's another thing I think people don't realize, is that people who are overweight and struggle with their weight know that everybody else automatically assumes that they're lazy, that they sit on their couch watching soap operas, eating bonbons all day, you know, and that's the perception that most people have when they look at you like, oh, you know. I mean, I've gotten dirty looks from stuff that I have on my, on my cart, you know, when I go grocery shopping. And I mean, dirty looks. So gosh, yes, I am focusing on it, but I'm more focusing on my mindset and, and getting to where I get through all of the murk, all of the crap, you know, all of their perceptions and what I grew up on and, you know, how I feel about it and all of that stuff. Because if I don't work through that, I don't know that change is going to stick.
Right. Yeah. Because you've mentioned the feeling of being judged a few times now, right? And so this definitely falls into that bucket. And if you're so focused on that, then you aren't really focusing on yourself and making the mindset into the lifestyle change.
Right. Right. Yeah. Absolutely.
How do you overcome the thoughts of being judged?
It's funny because one of the things that I do for my clients, I call them truth bombs. So I reach out to their customers or friends or mentors or whoever they give me a list of, and I do an interview kind of like this. And I create these little clips, audio and video, and it's something that they can play.
Yeah.
And they're having one of those days when they're like, I just suck. I am the worst person ever. And they, you know, can't get out of bed, or they're walking around with their chip on their shoulder, know, saying, I wish somebody would say something mean to me today, you know, just walking around looking for that. looking for that fight. And they can listen to one of those truth bombs, you know, and realize that it's not as bad as it seems.
Right.
So yeah. That's, I have a couple of those, but I do need to get more. But there again, asking for that is so difficult for me. That's why it's easy for me to do it for clients, mm-hmm. because right. I'm the buffer, you know. I'm happy to reach out to people and be like, oh my gosh, I'm reaching out to you on behalf of this person, and I just want you to tell me about that person, you know. And those people are just more than happy to mm-hmm. do that. They're like, oh my gosh, and it doesn't cost them anything but time. So they're like, oh, this person is the best. You know, she helped me through this and that, you know, so it's awesome. And I wish I could swallow my pride and ask for more for myself.
Yeah. Is that a goal? Is that something you can easily just write down and do?
Oh, Stu, I don't know. Is it a goal for you? No.
Let's probably.
Let's turn it around.
This is one of those things. Well, see, one of my best self-defense mechanisms is I can be deflective. So people don't even realize if they're asking me questions, next thing you know, we're talking about them for an hour and a half. Like that is
I know, that's why. I know, I saw that. That's why I was like, I don't know, Stu, tell me, is it a goal for you? Should it be a goal for you? I think you need to come on my podcast next so that I can ask you questions.
Yeah, we could flip the table. We'll flip the script. I'm totally down for that.
I love it.
You know, that's one of the things, like, at least for me, I give the best advice that I need to take that I don't.
Yeah.
And I know it.
Yeah.
But doing it is a completely separate task.
Yeah, me too.
What's helped me more and more is I am now a firm believer of it takes a village. Mm. You have talked about earlier, right? If there's something I recognize I need to work on or change, for me, it's vulnerability, right? Is that something I am going to be able to do that I've recognized and been trying to do for the past 6 months? Or am I going to revert to being closed off like I've been doing for the 28 years of my life, right? Like, you're going to default back to that.
Yeah.
But when you have people around you and you say, hey, I need your help, when you feel like you ask me a question, I turn around on you, or I'm giving you a half-assed answer and I'm not, you know, being fully open and honest, or I'm not sharing enough, like I don't come in and talk about my weekend or what I did or things like that, like I need you to call me out and force me to get uncomfortable and talk through all of this, because now it's going to help me grow and be a better person. It's going to open me up into your life and vice versa. We're going to get that stronger connection, and we're both going to be better because of it.
For sure.
You know, for me, like, I love, like, people is my thing. Like, I love that. And I'm very fortunate to work for a company where they're really big on the people side. So, you know, development catch-ups each week and how we push each other and open and honest feedback and all of those things, right? And as a manager, that's all I want for my team. And someone said to me one time, they're like, you know, Stu, as much as you're trying to help them, right? You're sitting down and saying, you know, talking through problems, whether it's at work or even personal, and just helping them talk and let it out and connect the dots. They want to do the same for you and you're not letting them do that.
Yeah.
And that hit me so hard because the first thing I pictured was, okay, what if I was sitting on that side of the table and I'm trying to, hey, how are you? How are you feeling? What's going on? You know, what's hurting you right now? And I'm like, no, I'm good. No, everything's fine. No, everything's great. Everything's perfect.
Hitting the wall.
Right. And that really hurt me. And that was a big mindset moment, I guess, for me.
Yeah, that's awesome. One of the things that I notice is that you have to start asking the right questions. You can be asking bullshit questions all day long and say and act and do like you're supposed to, right? But are you growing? Are you really asking the questions of yourself? First, because that's what happens. You're going to start saying, you know, why do I feel alone? You know, one of my huge aha moments was I was in a meeting and I was getting passed over for a promotion. And I literally had to fight myself not to flip the table. Mm. Like, just, you know,
yeah,
holding everything together, not to stand up and flip that table and tell both of those people in that room where to go.
Yeah.
You know, and then I, afterwards, I'm like, why did I get so angry? I mean, that, you know, I don't have bail money. That could have ended very badly. Not only. Yeah,
that could have went a lot worse than it did.
So I'm like thinking to myself, what the hell?
Yeah.
Why was I, you know, why did I go from 0 to 100, mm-hmm. you know, that fast? And when you start asking those really tough questions of yourself, mm-hmm. that's when the work starts. Because yeah. when you ask those questions, you realize the deficit in your life.
Yeah. What was the answer in that moment?
Because I always feel passed over. I always feel like I get the short end of the stick. I always feel unjustly done. Mm-hmm. You know, that saying, shit rolls down the hill. I'm always at the bottom of the hill. Mm-hmm. That's how I felt. And at that moment, I just really couldn't take it anymore because I was at a company where I, you know, thought that I had given it my all. I had built this team from the ground up. All the systems and processes that they used at that exact moment were all built by me. All of the vendors, everything I vetted. I did all of this work. And yeah. this person who had more credentials than mm-hmm. I did got the position. But I look back now and I'm like, that was a freaking, that's what was supposed to happen, you know? Yeah. Yeah. But internally what it did, what I allowed it to do to me was very detrimental.
Yeah. Has that been a persistent feeling throughout your life?
All my life. I'm the middle child. So it was always, what about me? What about me? What about me? And I, throughout my life, I mean, I lost custody of my daughters, and it was a 9.5 year long custody battle to get them back. Jeez. So I've always felt that, but what I know now is that I recreated the environment in which I was the most comfortable. Mm. Even wow. something as horrible as that.
Right.
I did that to myself.
It's cyclical.
Yes.
How do you 100%. Step out of that?
I would say in the last 5 months, realized that.
Wow.
That I have literally been recreating the environments that I am the most comfortable in, no matter how horrible, no matter how painful I'm doing it.
Yeah.
Because of my actions, because of my choices, because of the way that I've been reacting or not reacting, I'm responsible. I'm responsible. And so I'm stepping out of the victim story
yeah.
that I've
yeah.
been telling myself for 49 years.
Wow. That's a big realization and a big change in a positive way.
Yeah. It's huge.
Yeah.
Scary
yeah.
as hell, but it's mm-hmm. it's huge.
But it feels good too.
Yeah, it does. It does. And you know, I'm sorry that I'm so full of sayings, but this is why I have my t-shirt line. Because every time I hear something, and I'm like,
I could list 10 metaphors right now for you if you wanted.
The keys to my own happiness are in my own damn pocket.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah. Would you say self-worth is also something you struggle with? You know, 100%. Just thinking, saying growing up and just in the entire life feeling passed over, right? And now even thinking of today, you post, hey, it's my birthday, buy these shirts, but you're already in the back of your head saying almost, what is my worth for this? What are people thinking?
Yes.
Am I valuable, right?
Yes, absolutely. And I have struggled with that my whole life, which has gotten me into some awful, I have chosen awful relationships yeah. because yeah. of that. Yes, for sure. And what I'm, it's funny because you said that. One of the things that I'm working on right now is self-worth versus self-esteem. Mm. Can you see that?
There it is. Yeah.
Self-worth versus self-esteem.
Okay.
Because they're two different things. Self-worth is who you are. And self-esteem is all about like crap, you know, like
right.
People say self-worth, but they really do mean self-esteem. Mm-hmm. And so that's actually what I'm, what I'm actively working on. Yeah. So yes, that is a very astute realization on your part. But yes, self-worth has always been a struggle for me.
Yeah. What, in those two columns there, can you just list off the differences that you have on there?
Yeah. So self-worth is who you are, your intrinsic value internally, physical experience as a spiritual being, your divine self. Mm. So that actually has nothing to do with outward anything.
Right.
Nobody's opinion, nobody's judgment, nobody's, it doesn't have anything to do with anyone else except you. That's what self-worth is. Yeah. So your self-worth comes from within. Mm-hmm. So your self-esteem is your demographics, your physical attributes, and all of that is temporary. So your self-worth is forever. Yeah. And it's always been. So you just have to, I have to realize that my self-worth, I define my self-worth. Mm-hmm. Others can try to define my self-esteem, but it's up to me whether or not I accept that, whatever they're saying, right? Yeah. So, and what my coach made me write down is your self-worth determines your net worth.
Ooh, I like that. It's true. It all comes back to mindset again.
Yes. Right?
Because you can have two people go through the same exact situation with totally opposite mindsets. And what they walk away with is going to be like night and day. And that's no different than here, right? Like your mindset on your self-worth and value unconsciously is going to impact everyone else around you and what you bring to the table every day.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. Which means that's what I am attracting.
Right.
So if I'm attracting people who don't see my self-worth because I'm not exuding my self-worth, mm-hmm. then that's what I'm going to get.
Yeah. Yeah.
So
that's exactly it.
Yeah. So that's, that is like one of my current, things that I'm really focused on right now. So yeah. How about you? Is that something that you struggle with?
Yeah, probably. you know, I think it's the struggle of mixing the two together, like you were mm-hmm. saying, like self-esteem and self-worth. Like there's an imposter syndrome,
yes.
you know, especially with work where it's like, do they realize that they put me in this position? You know,
you're just waiting to wake up and get a text that says, we figured out who you are. You're fired.
I think for me, when it comes to self-worth, where I really struggle is the feeling of happiness. Like I cut myself mm-hmm. off and it's not even a conscious thought for me. It's almost like first of all, I limit my emotional spectrum already.
Mm.
And I think a lot of that is just from growing up. And there's been a lot of things with my dad of, you know, be a man and, you know, he would give me Indian burns and then I would cry and it's like, be a man, be a man. And it's like, I don't know. There's huge impacts there. Right.
So
but on the flip side, and I recognize it, but I don't know what to do in the sense of like, I'll get happy or excited about something, but then I stop mm-hmm. almost. And it's like, I don't deserve it.
Right.
And I don't know, number one, how to necessarily overcome that yet. And number two, like why, but it definitely is a self-worth aspect of I'm not worthy of feeling this happiness for some reason.
Right.
So yeah, I think for me too, it's definitely like introspection. I need to talk like to my girlfriend more about it. And even here's another thing too. It's the fear of looking at myself. Like, once again, everything I'm asking you is coming back on me, right? Because I've talked for years about talking to a therapist or seeing someone, and I just can't pull the trigger.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. When you finally give in to that, it will help your self-worth.
Yeah.
Because now you've invested in someone that is strictly invested in you. Mm-hmm. There is no, how's this going to make that person feel when you talk about a problem or a situation or a struggle? It's completely objective. And for me, that was one of my happy days. Wednesdays when I would go see my therapist, oh my gosh, I'd be so happy because I would be like, oh, I get to talk about this and just, you know, and not have to measure my words and, you know, make sure my face isn't, you know, all of those things that go along with it. It's so, so healthy for you. But I'm going to challenge you even further.
Okay.
Because happiness, people strive to be happy, right? But in my opinion, happiness is a byproduct of knowing who you are. I feel like people should strive for joy because joy is an action. Joy is like seeking. It's like going after the feeling that makes you happy, right? Instead of looking for happiness,
right,
you're actively seeking joy.
I like that.
So you're a participant. You're instead of a bystander, somebody watching and waiting.
Yeah.
You're actually involved. It's
proactive versus reactive.
Right. Right. And I tell my clients that all the time. Happiness is a byproduct of knowing your self-worth.
Yeah.
So.
Wow. I'm gonna keep that with me.
And I'm working on it. I'm working on it too. I really am. Like I consciously remember things that bring me joy, like belly laughs, you know, like dogs, you know, it's an active seeking, like, you know, I'm going to take my dogs to the dog park and watch them run around off leash because that brings me joy. And throwing the ball and seeing them play with other dogs and stuff, you know, it's an action. It's like I'm involved in it, you know. That's why TikTok is one of my favorite things.
Really? Just the quick videos, get a good laugh in.
And I even rewatch some of them that I find really, really funny.
So
seek joy.
I like that. I will. I will say, like, starting this podcast, one of the big things I love is connections and these kind of conversations. So I would say like this is definitely a part of that.
Yes.
Of something I've been talking about for a long time, never really did.
Yeah. Good for you.
Now here I am and like having these great conversations with you and just feel more awake, alert, energized, like fulfilled. It's the connection piece again. Like, I don't know. There's just something about it that excites me every time.
And just think it's action. You took an action. I put a post out. You responded to the post and we made it happen. It was an, we are both active participants and this kind of stuff brings me joy.
Yeah. Yeah. Thank you for that.
You're welcome.
Appreciate that.
Congratulations.
Thank you. Trying to think, I don't know if I have anything much else. Let's see. What is something people tend to misunderstand about you?
So I guess I would probably say, for some reason, especially older men, because I am the way that I am, they consider that like an open invitation to hit on me, which is just very strange to me because I talk about my husband. I, you know, I'm just not that kind of person. And so sometimes that kind of puts me at a little, you know, I'm like not as open as I would be, because I don't want to send the wrong message. Mm-hmm. And so that in turn, kind of puts their wives on the defense too.
Yeah.
So I think people would say that I'm extremely flirtatious when I'm not. Mm-hmm. And that does bother me because of my moral compass. So that's something that I do struggle with. Like every single time I've had issues with work, it's always been older women.
Really?
Always. Always. Yeah. So I started, I created a saying, if my brand of bold bothers you, that's not my problem.
I love that too. You were full of these. And these are all on t-shirts? I'm gonna need the link, please.
Yes, they're all t-shirts.
Oh, yeah. That's awesome.
Yeah, so I started putting that up in my cubicle at work. Mm-hmm. Because I then realized that I was playing small. I was diminishing who I was at work to appease these people that had issues with my personality.
Right. Self-worth again. And the fear of judgment. Right?
Yeah. I gotta write that down.
It all connects.
Dimming my shine. Yep. That's exactly. Wow. See? I didn't even put that together.
That's why it's good to talk and let it out.
Yeah.
Which I need to do.
I was gonna say, so what is something people misunderstand about? I'm sorry. We can do that on my podcast, I promise. Yeah. Yeah. That's the truth.
I guess before we wrap up, is there anything, I guess, that I should ask you that I didn't know enough to ask?
It's a cliche question, but I do try to ask it on my podcast because I feel like people don't give a true answer. And the question would be, what would you tell yourself 5 years ago, 6 months ago, whatever, you know?
Yeah.
Or what's something that you wish you knew? And the answer for me is focus, which is follow one. I don't know now. Follow one path until success. That's I forget what the acronym is. Because that's what I made the mistake of doing, is jumping from this thing to that thing to that thing, you know, and following so many different gurus. Following one path until you see success. And that's important because it creates consistency. Mm-hmm. And consistency creates confidence.
Yeah.
And I think that's why so many people give up, is because they've tried this and they've tried that and they've tried that. And they don't realize that they're recreating every single time they alter paths.
Yeah.
So that's what I wish I had done. That's what I wish I had done. Mm-hmm. That's what I wish someone had said to me in a way that I would have listened.
Right.
So that's what I'm saying to all your listeners.
Great.
Follow one path.
Yeah. Well, thanks for sharing that.
Thank you, Stu. This has been so much fun. I'm going to send you my link right now.
Please do. Seriously.
Because I want you on my podcast.
Yes.
I don't have a lot of guys on my podcast.
Uh-huh. So. I would love to come on. Absolutely. Awesome. Yeah, it would be an honor. It would be awesome. And I want you to also send me over the links to those shirts and stuff, too. Okay. Definitely want to check those out, please.
Will do.
But yeah, thank you so much. Like, this has been such a great conversation. Thank you for being open and honest and sharing and talking through it.
You're very welcome.
We just whatever went, it went, and it was a good conversation.
And I think we should stay in touch, because I think there's definitely, I'm a firm believer in no coincidences. Mm-hmm. So
yeah, let's definitely
stay in touch.
Absolutely. Awesome. Yeah. Any plans for the rest of the day?
Not much. It's going to be ridiculously hot. Not Arizona ridiculously hot, but New Hampshire, ridiculously hot, like 97. And I think the heat index is like in 60s, high 60s. So, so I'm going to stay in the air conditioning with my Huskies, because they're going to look at me and like, we're not going outside. Yeah,
we're staying in here.
So, yeah, but no, I'm going to be making t-shirts all day today.
Nice.
Because that's one of my creative outlets that I absolutely just love. Love it.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's nice. It.
That's a good day.
Yes. Thank you so much again for your time and space. I appreciate it.
Absolutely. And happy birthday again.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Have a good day, Stu.
You too. I'll talk to you soon.
All right. Bye.
Okay, bye.